Blog Talk Radio.
within the still of night, on wings of hope takes life inside of me. On some distant shore, we want for nothing more than what will be. And you and I, here we are. I wonder as we come this far, if I could only
soft songs like that. Welcome everybody to Journey into the Light for your Wednesday evening. Happy New Year. I know this is like the first Wednesday night we've been back since the holidays, though I've been back full time since Sunday, so I've done a number of shows. I don't feel like I'm just back, but for you Wednesday people and Lisa, who I'm so glad is back, it is a brand new start for 2017. So, we're going to be taking your phone calls for Lisa here in just a little bit. So just dial on into the number 347-884-8245 is the number. Do hope everybody had good holidays. And, for me, it was great with family and, great Christmas dinner. With all the traditions that my wife and I made, and and then kind of binged on some TV shows, since my son surprised the heck out of me and gave me a 50-inch smart TV that I was just shocked and so happy, because I really needed a newer TV, but I throughout the year never had funds to do that. Anyway, really good couple of days off and then back to it here on the show. I know I wasn't live on the radio, but there's more work on this show that's off the radio than on the radio. And people don't realize that, but there is. Anyway, let's go ahead and bring in our guest here, Lisa Zayas, to the show. Happy New Year, Lisa.
Hi, Michael. How are you? Happy New Year to you, too, and your family. And I'm so glad about your gift. I think that is so sweet. So sweet when kids actually think about us and say, hey, you know, what could Mom and Dad use? That warms my heart. That's really sweet. I like to hear that.
Yeah, because that's it exactly, because that's what I told my son. I said, it's the gift that I love, but also here you were, you know, listening to me for the past couple of months of how I wish I had a new TV and things like that, and how this TV doesn't do these things. And I wasn't asking to get one. I had no idea. But here you were listening, taking it all in, like, what could Dad really need? So it's like he finally has switched from being a kid to being a young adult, which you know what I mean by that.
Yeah.
So
absolutely. This is my first Christmas without any of my kids in 25 years. It was
oh,
a little
wow.
hard, I have to say.
Yeah.
It was, you know, I knew I was see them after Christmas. We actually went to see, you know, Nelson's on Monday, and that Tuesday I went to see mine. I got to see 3 out of the 5 for mine, so that was good. That's a good, I guess, a good ratio. But, you know, it was hard, and then I kept trying to say to myself, oh, you know, I really should be happy because my kids are independent. They're on their own. Like, there was a part of me that was very proud of them, you know, that they're on their own. They're doing what they have to do. And that part made me happy. But, you know, 25 years. I will tell you one thing. It was very funny. It was Thanksgiving, and my son called me, who's in Colorado, and we got to FaceTime. And I called him. I'm like, so how you doing? He's like, oh, you know, I'm trying to do everything that you did, Mom, you know, and that made me feel good. He goes, but I have to tell you, you know, getting up early and cleaning the house and trying to get the antipasto together. He's like, do you know how much an antipasto costs? I'm like, no, tell me. I have no idea. He's like, and I got to get the macaroni. I got to get the turkey in, and I hope we're dressed in time for the guests. And I have to tell you, I got off the phone, I just laughed. I think all mothers out there are laughing to themselves because when we get that call that they finally get it, that the turkey didn't, you know, miraculously appear out of the oven, that all the side stuff that we make and all the goodies that we bake actually have to be done, it really warmed my heart. I really was laughing quite hard. And then he just recently called to ask for my sauce recipe. And he started by saying, he said to me, all right, so I know that you are going to, you've been waiting to hear this call for, you know, years. He goes, so get it out of your system. He said, I know that you've been waiting for this call. And I was just so proud. He actually wanted the recipe that my mother-in-law gave to me when I first got married, which is over 26 years ago. So that was pretty nice. But so I want to tell you my story, Michael. I know I told a little bit about it, but I want to tell you what my husband gave to me for Christmas, and it was not any kind of gift that you can hold. But besides giving me some wonderful gifts that we needed in the house, like a ninja blender, he decided to take me back to Brooklyn before I saw my kids that day, and he said, we're going to go visit your old house. Now, my old house was, back in the day, it was an Italian community, basically an Italian community with some Irish and some Jewish, but now it is basically a Hasidic Jewish community. You know, the gardens are gone, and there's, like, huge houses built instead. Most of all the gardens that were there have extended houses. So going down my block, I actually had a hard time finding my house. It took me a little time before I noticed the numbers and I was able to find it. It was still a small house. It wasn't as big as all the other ones, but, you know, we found a spot very quickly, and, you know, we got out, and I was a little bit afraid because I was thinking, like, these people are not going to be happy that we're here, and I really wanted to see my house. Like, this took a lot of guts and courage to go there. So we knocked on the door. And we stood there for a while, and there was nothing, you know. So I was like, all right, you know, we're already on the stoop. We might as well go into the backyard. So we go into the backyard, and, you know, remnants of where my pool was, the outline. It was a grass outline where my pool was. The siding of the house was still the same. The garage was cut in half, though. That was kind of odd. They actually cut the garage in half. The other people, I guess, didn't want a garage. But you could still see the color of the paint from when my dad painted it. You could still see the porch where my dad had put, there was a patio porch. So there was a lot of flashbacks, a lot of visions. It was kind of bittersweet. So we ring the back door, and all the lights are on in the house, so I'm assuming that there has to be somebody there. And we're standing there, and you know, finally we decided, okay, you know, let's just go. At least I got to see the backyard. My mom's rose bushes, they were all gone. There was just maybe a rhododendron. The hedges that separated the house now had a extended house from the neighbors. So all the hedges that were 6 foot high that my dad had taken such pride in always trimming, they were gone. The fig tree was gone. So, you know, we start going towards the front, and we can see somebody upstairs moving the shade. And I said, oh, they're just not going to open the door for us. So we go across the street, and I said to my husband, I said, I believe the only other neighbor that I would know is across the street. And he said, how do you know? I said, because there's a wreath. You know, any other person would have had, you know, it would have been a Hanukkah, a candle. I said, but there's a Christmas wreath there. I said, I bet you he still lives here. So we go to that house and knocking on the doors, no one's answering. And, you know, we pretty much decided, okay, this is it. Let's just go. Just then we're walking back through the alley, and the person who lives in my old house comes out the front door. Well, I run across the street. The car is coming. I run across the street, and I stop him, and I'm like, hi, you know, I'm telling him who I am. And, of course, he's looking at me like I'm crazy. You know, here's these two people, and he's like, okay. And I said, I would love to see the inside of my home. I said, this is probably the last time I'll come down this block, and I just really want to see my house. So he looked at both of us, and, you know, I guess anybody can come up and say that. I was like, oh, he's just not going to let us in. And I tried to explain to him that I know the neighbor across the street. I give them the names. I give them the husband's name, the wife's name, the children's name, you know, just to prove that that this was my house. And just then he goes, oh, Mr. Smith? I'm like, yeah. He's like, well, that's him across the street. Well, he had just gotten out of the car. And I didn't recognize him because it's been 20 years, so he seemed a lot smaller, you know, a little older. So I run across, and you know, I say hello to him and his wife, and it just so happened that he had his son with him, and, you know, so it was a nice reunion. And we're talking for a while, and I guess my husband is, you know, saying to this gentleman, whose name was actually Israel, you know, that my wife grew up here, and, you know, friends of her parents. With that, I guess that kind of cinched it. I guess the gentleman kind of said, you know, how else, you know, would she know these people? And he told my husband, wait here 1 second, I'll be right back. So we kind of figured maybe he was just going to bring something out or whatever. I walk across the street, and, you know, I thank him for his time, and he said, would you like to come in? Well, Michael, I almost, like, fell down. He was so courteous and so courteous. Is that your side? Okay, I'm sorry. He took us through the whole house, room by room. He even took out a picture album and showed us what it was like before he had gotten there, what he had done. I knew things about the house that no one else would know, where the secret space to the attic was. There were things that there was no one else that would know that information. And he literally let us open every door, every closet. He was so proud to show that he actually kept the integrity of the house. Four children had grown up there. So as two children, you know, we had grown up there. Four children had grown up in his family. And the whole visitation ended with him saying to us, like, come back anytime. You are welcome here anytime. And it was such a beautiful miracle because, you know, he could have just shushed us away. He could have just said, you know, I'm sorry, but, you know, we just can't let you in my home. But he was so accommodating and so generous and beyond understanding. I mean, there were parts of the house that I just wept, you know, when I went into certain rooms, just you know, how it was changed. Not that he had changed anything in a bad way. Just going back and visualizing my brother and I, the playpen, where my mom cooked, and just little things that you remember as you're walking through the house. So I actually did memorize every part of the house, every nuance that was changed. I was recording really very carefully so that I could tell my mom. And he let us take our time. He just absolutely, he offered to let us go up into the bedrooms, which I thought was extremely nice because I got to see my bedroom and my brother's. And, you know, the things, the upgrades he did were amazing. And bathrooms on all three floors, which was very nice. But all in all, it was really like a Christmas miracle. It was, you know, here I am Italian, very different customs. You know, he wouldn't shake my hand. They're not allowed to do that. So there was a lot of customs and there could have been, it could have been a very different story. And it turned out that two people came together to see that one house had been a home to two very, very different families. They couldn't be any more different if you tried. Where we had our TV back in the day with green rugs and gold furniture with plastic, I'm sure people would relate to that. He had a leather couch with a library from ceiling to floor of, I guess, Bibles or Jewish books, you know, with the Arabic lettering on it, just, you know, wall to wall, ceiling to floor. And I'm thinking, you know, in our house, that was our entertainment center. That's where we had our music. That's where we had our TV. And this is where he had his library. And it was just good. It was just a really good feeling. Like, again, he didn't really change much as many of the other neighbors had. They had really extended and changed the complete structure of the house. There were still little pockets of my house that were that you could see. Still little things that he had left. So I wanted to share that story because I know a lot of people think about going home, and it is quite possible, and it was the greatest gift my husband could have given me. It really was the greatest gift. So Happy New Year to all.
Well, that's very special, very touching, and when you told me that story during the break, I could so relate to that because the same thing happened to me years ago when I was back up to Nebraska where I was raised, and my sister and I went to the farmhouse that we grew up in, and the current owners knew us, knew of our family, my grandpa, because they bought the house from my grandpa, and so they knew us, kind of, you know, they knew the name, they knew, so when you know, they right off the bat said, do you want to come in? And because we knew that, you know, could we? And it was great in a way because it was great to see where we grew up. And it's so different looking at it with adult eyes. And yeah, I know that from my kids when we've gone through our original house. They say the same thing about how small it looks. Gosh. But when we went through the house, it's just because my dad, as I've said on this show before, was an alcoholic, especially in that house, things were not good. And so much came back up in flashbacks. I mean, just instantly and room to room, I could remember things where towards the end, me and my sister really got sad. And it was, and the owners knew about my dad, so they knew exactly what we were dealing with, and they were very nice about it, and so we just kindly left, and then me and my sister had a long talk about growing up and things, but all in all, still, I was glad I did it, though, and it was nice to see where you grow up at. It's kind of like going back home, and so yeah. It can be nice and definitely interesting.
Yeah, I was just amazed. Like, the flashbacks were hard because, you know, as I'm looking at the present, I'm seeing the old furniture. I'm seeing, you know, I'm seeing people walking. It was almost like watching ghosts. It was as if I was watching, you know, this family of mine, you know, having dinner, where they were sitting, you know, how my father would lay on the floor to watch TV. You know, it was... going into my brother's room was very difficult, and he was very sweet. He asked me, he says, you know, is your brother? I said, my brother is gone. And you could actually tell that he had pain in his heart. Like, his aura was, he understood, you know, to lose a sibling, and you could see that he was generally concerned. So he asked about my parents, how they were doing. I mean, but it was hard. The back and forth. Like you said, going back, you know, you're looking at the present. You're trying to look at everything that they've done to the house. At the same time, the flashbacks are incredible. You know, they're overwhelming. They really were overwhelming.
Yeah, that's interesting how that works. yeah, great stories. So you want to see who's on the phone lines, Lisa?
Oh, absolutely.
Okay, so everybody call on in. Please leave it to one question, and the number 347-884-8245. Press the 1 on your phone to be connected, and we'll be glad to bring you on in. So let's go to our first caller then, area code 845. Welcome to the show. Can we get your first name and where you're calling from?
Hello, guys. My name is Carmen, and I'm calling from New York. Hi, Lisa.
Hi, Carmen. How are you?
Very well, thank you. How are you?
I am well. I'm just starting a little cold, so forgive me, but I'm doing well. Thank you so much.
Good. I hope you feel better soon.
Thank you. What can we do for you tonight?
Would like to know what love has for me down the road.
Okay, that's always good for the new year. You know, this year, I'm not sure how many people have talked about it, but Michael, you might tell me, you know, this year is the year of the one. It's a year of new beginnings. It's a great year. Last year was the nine, and this is the one. And I'm starting to delve into numerology a little bit more, and I'm enjoying it so much. So this is a year of one. So this is a great year that if you want to start something new, make a change, you know, change your hair, cut your hair, do something different, this is it. This is the year to have
okay.
a new common. You know?
Great.
And I don't know why. I think physically changing you who you are is not a bad thing for some reason. You know, kind of going into the hair salon and saying, hey, you know, what can I do to make myself have that little bit more pep in my step? You know, and find something. Do something that makes you different, that says this is a new year. Because when we look in the mirror, you want to look in the mirror this year and say, I'm different. I'm ready for something new. All right. Your card is actually a harvest card. It says 1 year. So there's a time period. So I think there's things that you have to work on for yourself right now. But that doesn't mean that you can't meet people I just don't see anything coming that's very serious. But I do see engaging and enjoying company, you know. I think that you need to make yourself more available. And I always talk about this on the show. I believe in coffee dates, you know, not nighttime dates. Nighttime dates put a lot of pressure on people, but coffee dates, it's the way to go. Go do brunch,
okay.
Do a coffee date. When we get older, my husband and I, you know, I'm proud to say I'm over 50. We did Barnes & Noble. That's what we did. I love a date at Barnes & Noble. It's nothing better than really finding out if you want to be with somebody by seeing what they read, you know. You
yeah.
can tell so much
yeah.
about a person. And then, you know, getting a nice spot on the couch, drinking some coffee, and reading some books together. I know that sounds corny, but boy, oh boy, you watch what someone picks out, and you could decide if you want to be with them.
Okay? Good advice.
So make it a different. Oh, yeah, oh, absolutely. Is there also something, I just want to ask really quickly, but you could always contact me for a longer reading. You have children, Carmen?
Yes, I do have one.
Okay, because what is it, a son, a boy?
A boy.
Okay, a boy. I think he's just going to go through a couple of things that are going to make some changes. He's got a lot of stuff going on.
Okay.
Okay? Just to, you know, keep an eye. I mean, he might just need his mom a little bit more than he usually does, okay?
Okay, I will.
Because even though
I
pulled out two cards for you, yeah, even though I pulled out two cards for you, I just feel that one card is definitely you, and this other card is not you. It was your son, one son. So, just give him a little bit more. He just needs a little bit of mom guidance right now.
Okay.
He might not
I
tell you about
so.
It, but I think he just needs you right about now. In about 3 to 4 months, he's going through some stuff. He's just going to need your advice, okay?
Okay, thank you, Lisa. Thank you very much. Happy New Year to you both.
Oh, no problem. You have a very blessed year, and, you know, keep us posted on how it goes, okay?
I will. Thank you. Bye-bye.
Okay.
All right. Love.
Happy New Year. Okay, very good. Let's go next to area code 952. Welcome to the show. Can we get your first name and where you're calling from?
My name is Betsy, and I'm calling from Minnesota.
Hi, Betsy. How are you?
I'm okay.
Oh, you don't sound okay. What can we do for you?
I just had a friend pass today.
Okay. I could hear it in your voice. Okay. And this person was obviously close to you.
Yes.
They passed today?
This morning, yes.
Okay. So just know, Betsy, that I don't know how much you're familiar with when a soul passes. The soul lingers on the earth for 3 days. Okay? This is a time that they actually go and visit all their loved ones. So I would definitely keep a candle lit and stay in contact with that person's memory.
Okay.
Absolutely. They are very close to you. And on the third day, and that's usually, when the service is over or whatever's going on, they do leave with their spirit guides. But for 3 days, they linger, and they visit everybody. My dad did it for me, and so I am very confident that this person will either come to you in your dreams or just when you're sitting there with your coffee in the morning, or, that person will be there. So just be aware. Be aware of little nuances, like maybe a smell or a feeling. And just know that that person is a company. Is it a he?
Yes, it is.
Okay. Just know that he's accompanied by his spirit guide at this time.
Okay?
Okay. He is not alone. He is with his two best buddies, or girl, buddy, two people who agreed to have his back when he first came down. They said, you go down, we'll watch your back. And they did not leave his side until the minute he came in and picked up his crystal from the crystal grid until he leaves his essence back on the crystal grid. They were with him all the time. So right now, they're escorting him. He is not in any pain. I know it was very sad, but he is in no pain whatsoever. Okay?
That's good.
I do feel like it was fast. Was it fast that this happened?
Yes.
Okay. Because I think he's adjusting right now, because I think this wasn't expected, correct?
Well, we knew he was going to pass, but we just didn't know when. He had COPD.
Okay. He's adjusting right now, but he's fine. He really is fine. The next card I pull for him is movement, so that's a great card. The other card was possessions. This really just describes how your heart's feeling. That you reach out and you feel like he's still not there. It's more or less like you're gonna wake up in the morning and go, oh, I wish I could talk to him, and he's not there.
Yeah.
But he's even closer. Now, also, I know I've talked about it, but I want to say especially to you, Betsy, that people don't realize that when someone that they really care about dies, that person leaves a piece of them in each of those that loved him, okay? He leaves a piece for you to take care of. You go up there, and you give it back to him. So in essence, it's almost like a mirror that shatters. And all the people that loved him get a piece of that shard, that crystal, that they have to hold and keep his memory until they die and give it back to him. And then he is whole once again. Okay? So you're entrusted with a piece of him. Okay? And that being said, you'll always keep him. Like, you will always keep him in your heart.
Absolutely.
All right? It says, the last thing I says, I just want to read your last card. If you are feeling at loss or unclear about a need to act, consider what is timely to your nature and remember what is yours will come to you. So that's the last card for you. All right? It also, I just want to say one more thing. It says, and this is for him, so this is what he would like to tell you. Okay? So listen carefully, because this is home for this card for you. The warrior ship plows the waves, yet no hand grasps the tiller. None draws an oar. O mariner, surrender to the mystery, and all else follows. What that means is that he doesn't have to work anymore. Fine. He's where he's supposed to be.
Yes. I understand.
And that would be the poem. You could look up that card. Remember, number 17, movement. There's a little poem. That would be what he would want to tell you. Number 17, movement, and the Viking rune cards.
And the Viking runes? Okay.
Okay.
Yes,
yeah, you could always
contact
me. Well, contact me, and I'll give you that information if you forget, okay?
I will. Thank you very much.
No problem, Betsy. Much love to you.
Much love to you, dear.
Okay, much love. So sorry for your loss.
Thank you, dear.
Take care, Betsy. All righty. Bye-bye. Loss is always hard, but but they're still always with us, always with us. And they want us to, we got to grieve, but then they do want us to be happy and fulfill our life, what we're here for, to do.
Yeah, because we have to, we are the light. Yeah, could you hear me?
I hear you now, yeah.
Can you hear me? Oh, okay, I'm sorry.
Yeah, that's better.
You know, there's a story, there's a really sweet story, and if Betsy's still listening, there's a story about, and if you've heard this, you might know this story, that there's this woman, and she's watching a parade of people coming down a mountain, and they're all holding candles. I hope I don't cry during the story, but so she loses her daughter, and she knows that her daughter is in this parade of lights. And each person has a candle, and they're walking, and she's watching all these people that are now in heaven, and she's watching each one, and she's so anxious to see her daughter, as any mother would be. And she's searching and searching, and the line keeps going and going, and finally she thinks she sees her daughter, but her candle is not lit. And out of all the people, her candle's not lit. And when she finally gets closer, she yells out to her daughter, "But why? Why isn't your candle lit?" She goes, "Because you keep crying and putting it out, Ma." She goes, "I can't find my way unless you go on. I won't be able to light my candle." So that's a hard story. And so they need to know that we grieve, but at the same time, you know, we need to do what we have to do, because they're waiting for us. They think it's such a short time. You know, when we get up there, they'd be like, "Oh, I just left you a little while ago." We, on the other hand, seem like it's like years and millennium and years to go. But they're like, you know, at a snap of a finger, they feel like, "Wow, I thought I just left you." And the time is very different up there, unfortunately, for us down here.
Yeah, yeah, right. There's just no time there at all. And my son was talking to me about that the other day, about time, and he's really into these near-death experiences lately, reading them and finding, you know, a lot of stuff, and tell me what he's found, and to talk about time, how there's just no time there at all, and that that one person who went back, who died, died at an NDE, when he went back to the other side, he felt like was barely gone, you know, barely gone. So, yeah.
It's a whole different the other side.
Yeah. Whole different ball game. Lisa, how do folks reach you for private sessions?
Okay, they can call me at 570-269-5649. And if they do mention your show, your name or your show, they do get $10 off. So that's $40 for 40 minutes instead of 50. So just mention that and you get that break. They could also reach me on my website, lisahypnotherapyandreiki.com. I also have CDs available for someone who is suffering from depression, for the winter blues, I call it, or needs a sleep meditation tape. Both of these are hypnotherapy tapes, as I am a certified hypnotherapist, and they could use these tapes over and over to help them. And I believe that the price is $24.99, and that includes shipping. I know you've tried the sleeping meditation tape, so CD, so I'm really happy about that, Michael. And there's also some what I call the moon dance shawls on my site, and you could take a look at those along with some blankets that I like to make. So there's a few things that to buy in my store. Okay.
Yeah, that's right. The sleeping meditation CD that Lisa offers, folks. If you have any trouble sleeping, I received that CD some months ago, and it has so helped me. I have never gotten to the end of it, and it is so relaxing and just puts you right to sleep. So, and it's so much better to use that because when you use these other components, you know, like sleeping pills or you know, what have you, it just isn't worth it because the next day you pay for it and you're extremely tired because those pills are wearing off in your body. They haven't gone all the way through. A lot of it just actually doesn't even go through. It stays.
Right. That's true. And I'm so happy with the fact that the council actually did, you know, advise that the last part that you didn't hear, and also with the depression tape, the winter blues, they took me on such a wonderful journey. I think I told you that when I listened to it on my own voice and I was listening to the story that they told, I was actually surprised. I didn't realize where the story had gone and how they had weaved a lot of seeds, because when you do hypnotherapy, you're actually dropping gentle seeds to help that person. So both the tapes for either sleep, they're dropping seeds of sleeping and relaxation, and for the winter blues, what you're doing is you're leaving positive seeds, things that someone could say, wow, you know, like I think when I wake up or after this tape, I feel good. I want to do something, and that's what we have to do.
Okay, very good.
I'm hoping that people would take advantage of that.
Yes. Yes, for sure. Your link is there right on the show page, too, folks, to reach out and go, especially if you're, you know, listening to the show and it's in the archives, which I know the majority of you guys do. You could contact Lisa while we're not doing a show and do a private session. You can do that. She does do private sessions. And I realized that I needed to say that on air because I thought people just knew that, but some people have asked me, does your guest do private sessions? Like, yes, they do. I don't have a single guest that doesn't do their private sessions. But anyway, so there you go. Okay, let's go up to Massachusetts and bring in our friend Kathleen to the show.
Hello.
Hi, Kathleen. Hi, how are you?
Hi, how are you? Good, how are you, honey?
I am well. What can I do for you in 2017?
Okay, well, I have a question. My real name is Kathleen, but my nickname is Kay, K-A-Y. So I'm just giving you both names in case you pick
okay.
up the other.
Okay.
The man I'm seeing and I is supposed to be going to Aruba, all-inclusive, from March, 7 to 14 of this year. And we made all the plans. And now he says he's $3,000 short. Well, isn't that the way it is, you know? So anyway, he called his credit union today if he could get a loan for the $3,000 so we could go on the trip. And I want to see if he will get approved for it and if we'll still go on this all-inclusive trip to Aruba in March.
Okay.
I'm telling you, these guys drive me nuts.
Yeah. Well, the card I picked is Defense, which is the Labyrinth, which means that the red – it's called the – it's the learning one. It's like you've picked up red berries along the way, and you kind of learned a lot. That being said, I think you already have your answer. I think you know where it's going to go. But at the second point...
No, I don't.
I think that if you were to really wait like if you were to close your eyes right now, okay, and in your left hand,
yeah.
it would be, I'm going on this trip, so see how that feels. And then on the right hand, I'm not going on this trip. Which hand feels more correct?
Well, the left has
going.
A tighter grip.
Okay. And how does the right hand
Which
feel?
Which you said I'm going. Huh?
Okay. And the right hand that says you're not going feels what? Looser?
Not as tight as the left. My fingernails are digging in to the palm of my hand when I close it on the left.
Okay. That signifies that your body's telling you it's not good. It should not be tight. It should be free-flowing, and you should feel really good. Because this part says that even more than we are doers, we are deciders. And once a decision is clear, the doing becomes effortless, all right? Through inconvenience and discomfort, growth is promoted. So let's backtrack. You should be able to have that feeling and feel a sense of ease. Like your heart should be like, oh, yes, okay? If you're digging your hands into it, it just tells me it's not, you're not going. And if this gentleman doesn't have the money, you know, that, you know, and no disrespect to him and I'm not judging him, but if he planned this trip and he doesn't have the money, you know, why would you
yeah.
want to put him, make him have to take out a loan? You know, it's so sad. He's got to take out a loan. He's got to pay off, which is going to cost him so much more. It's
well,
almost like
it was,
it's not even worth
it. It was the third time.
And I'm
this will be the third time by this person I have been let down. We went to the travel agent together. I said, are you sure you have this money? Oh, yeah. Don't worry about it. And now it's, I'm like 3,000 short. I don't know. So I guess my answer is no.
I think so. And again, this card with the red berries in the labyrinth, you pick each, every time you pick a berry out of the labyrinth, you it's like a knowledge, a piece of knowledge, you know. First time it happened, second time you had it, third time now. So this is just definitely showing. You got three berries, and each time those nuggets of knowledge are showing you like, yeah, this is not really working out too well. You know, is he just not good with his money? I'm not going to say anything disparaging against him. Does he not save well? You know, whatever that is. But if you're asking me if you're going on this trip, no. It's not going to happen.
Okay,
and
well,
then you have to understand,
I appreciate. What? Go ahead, hon.
No, I'm just saying, and I want you to think about, yeah.
I'm sorry, maybe I lost you. I want you to think about, okay, so this would be the third time. What am I doing that is bringing this situation where he is not able to do that? Is he expecting that he can and he's not being honest with himself? There's like an honesty issue there. You know, maybe not going to Aruba, but maybe going to a nice bed and breakfast somewhere, doing something like that a couple of days away in a nice place. Is more his style. You know, maybe this is just way too much out of his ballpark. And he's having a hard time, and he doesn't want to upset you by it. He doesn't want to, you know, let you down, but this is just not something he can, you know, he's able to do. So there's a few obstacles there.
But he does not want to let me down. There was a point the first time he did have the funds. No problem. Then there was a breakup. And maybe the breakup was because he didn't want to go. I don't know.
Right.
But, yeah, he doesn't want to upset me. I think you're right. I do. He doesn't want to let me down. Hello?
Looks like, don't know where, oh, we lost Lisa. We lost Lisa. Okay. Stand by, Kathleen.
Oh, put people on my...
Hang on, Kathleen. Hang on. Let's see if Lisa's able to call back in. But we're almost here at the end of the show, but we'll see how it goes. Again, to contact Lisa, Lisa's link is right here on the show page, folks. We are near the end here of the show, just about a couple minutes left. I'll be live tomorrow afternoon. Tomorrow afternoon, 3 p.m. Eastern Time. So, and my guest will be from the Ukraine. So if you want to talk to someone in the Ukraine, psychic medium, tomorrow is your time. So, as Helen will be my guest. And then I'll have shows tomorrow evening. Okay. Tomorrow evening will start at 7 p.m. Eastern Time. Okay. Okay, Lisa, you're back?
Yeah, I don't know what happened. I'm so sorry. I was talking to her and I felt so bad. I lost her. But okay, so I'm sure she's hung up. But if she's listening, I just
she's
hope
here.
That she
she's here. Yeah. You want to wrap? Yeah, Kathleen, you there?
Let me just.
Yeah, I'm here, and I get it.
You know, it's just you know. You might not be going to Aruba, but maybe you both can compromise and going someplace which is you know. It's not going to hurt his pocket as much, and it could be just as you know, fun. To be honest, if you enjoy his company, then it really doesn't matter where you go. You know, you can go across the country, you can go right around the corner. But if it's someplace
no,
that
I
you
get
can
it.
Get a
sure.
Yeah, and it'll probably be better for him, because if he's stressing like that, how much fun can you have if he's going to have to pay this off, so, you know, put him in such a hole? I know if I wouldn't want to do that to someone
well,
I love, and I know you don't want to either. So, but have
well,
fun.
I'm
go
not
find
sure
a,
I love them, but yeah.
Well, find a nice bed and breakfast. You know, those places are amazing, you know, with some good scenic views or some museums around, if that's your thing, and enjoy your time that way.
No, I know what you're saying, and I have a place in mind that we've been to before. So thank you so much, Lisa.
Oh, no problem. You have a wonderful new year, and much love to you.
Thank you, and same to you, dear.
Okay, thanks, Kathleen. Okay. All righty. Lisa, one more time, best way people can contact you?
Our best way would be to either call me at 570-269-5649. I also have a Facebook. Just look me up at Lisa Zayas, and I will friend you, and you can talk to me there. Or the website, which is longer, I know, lisahypnotherapyandreiki.com. So there's three ways, or you could reach me on your site, on your page, and I'll be happy to get back to you.
Okay, very good. Well, we're going to wrap up here. So great show, Lisa, and I look forward to all the future shows in 2017. Have a good week.
Oh, you too, Michael. Much love. Bye-bye.
Okay, much love. Bye-bye. Okay, that's Lisa Zayas here to the show. That's going to do it for me for another day here on Journey into the Light. I want to thank everybody for listening, being here, being supportive. I want to thank my producer, Bonnie, here for being alongside here with me and helping on out. And so, yeah, first show tomorrow will be at 3 p.m. Eastern Time. Helen will be here from the Ukraine. Say that 5 times. Okay. All right. That's going to do it then. So thanks, everybody. Much love to all of you. And have a good night.